In today's gospel, we are reminded we must be watchful for the coming of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an exhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth can destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who is ignorant of his master's will, but acting in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know about you, but when I was in school, especially grammar school and high school, the most dreaded words a teacher could say was, "Now close your books and take out a piece of paper." Remember that? The surprise quiz. Nothing worse than that, especially if you hadn't studied as well as you should have. Very anxiety-producing. The surprise quiz. But today, in the gospel, Jesus tells us that he's not above pulling surprise quizzes on us. I mean, did you ever stop to think that today's gospel itself is, in a sense, a surprise quiz? Because Jesus today says he's going to come and knock on our door and ask of us what we're doing with the gifts of the kingdom. We're told today, Jesus says, the Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom. But now, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the kingdom? Jesus knocks on the door, asks that question to you today and to me. What are you doing right now with the kingdom God has given you? What would we use as a measuring rod for all that, I wonder? One of the things we could use is a line from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. He writes there, St. Paul, "Do everything and say everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Everything you do, everything you say, do it in the name of the Lord. In other words, you should be able to take everything you do and everything you say and hold it up to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you. Bless this." Can we do that? Everything we do, everything we say, hold it up to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you." Let me just offer you a couple of examples this morning. A few years ago now, the taxi licensing board of New York City decided to do a little examination of taxi cab drivers. So what they did is they sent out people pretending to be foreigners, pretending to be people who didn't speak English. 51 different random cabs were chosen. These people would get in the cab, they'd hand the cab driver a paper with an address written on it, because allegedly they couldn't speak English, right? So they hand them a note with an address written on it. And what they found out was that of those 51 cabs, 31 of them charged these people more money than they should have. They did that by taking them on the roundabout route. Okay, rather than going a direct line, they'd go a few side streets and go around and end up having to, you know, charging them $8 or $9 or $10 more. Now imagine you are a Christian cab driver. You believe in the Lord, you go to church. How could you do something like that if you're one of those who did it? Could you hold that up to the Lord and say, "Lord, bless this"? Probably not. Or imagine taking it down to our own day, our own time. Imagine you are an executive working in a company that produces vaping objects for teenagers. You know, vaping is a big problem with teenagers. We're being told by scientists and medical people that vaping is very dangerous for the brains, the developing brains of teenagers. And yet, these vaping companies do everything they can to get teenagers to vape. They can't advertise in some places, but what they do is they advertise on social media platforms. They advertise by holding music festivals where they provide vaping tents to get the kids introduced to vaping. But it's unhealthy. The nicotine and the other things, the other chemicals are unhealthy. So if you're an executive working at one of those companies and you're a Christian, can you hold that up to God? Say, "God, bless this, bless my desire to make money through getting kids to vape. Bless this." Would you do that? Or taking another step in our own time. We've all seen those horrible pictures from Gaza with the people gathered around these big, I guess they're soup pots, holding out their plates, trying to get a bowl of soup to bring home to their family. Just awful pictures of these people who are starving to death. If you're a God-fearing person, can you hold that sort of thing up to God and say, "Oh God, bless the fact that we're keeping food from these people"? Now, Pope Leo said a couple of weeks ago, food cannot be used as an instrument of war. The denial of food cannot be used as an instrument of war. Could you hold something like that up to God? All these trucks backed up at the border, not being allowed in to bring food in. Could you use that as hold that up to God and say, "God, bless this"? Another example, maybe more controversial for us. The British medical journal, The Lancet, which is a very respected medical journal, has done a study of what the results will be of the cuts in U.S. aid to developing countries of the world. You know, we've cut back very significantly on the U.S. aid we're sending out. The Lancet has concluded that with those cuts in food and medicine, in something like the next 10 years, if those cuts remain that way, in the next 10 years, 14 million people will die. 14 million people will die because of 1% of our yearly budget in this country. Now, even if that estimate is wrong, suppose it's wrong by 50%, 7 million people will die. That's something we can hold up to God and say, God, bless this. This is good. Bless this. So that's the kind of thing that Christ is asking us to look at today. And in our own lives, what about our generosity, our mercy, our forgiveness, our feeding the poor, our reaching out to those in need? What about that? Can we hold those things up to God and say, bless this, Lord? Remember, today, all that might be a surprise quiz. Someday, it will be a final exam. Might be a surprise quiz today, but someday it's going to be a final exam. May God bless you.